Welcome, plotters and planners, to episode 174 of the Nerdstravaganza podcast. We're on this occasion of the 174th episode of our show. We're going to consider our direction, both in the near and distant future. I'm Tom.
I'm Brian.
I'm Chris.
And I'm Cam.
And I'll remind our listeners that they can check us out weekly on iTunes, where we greatly appreciate favorable reviews and maximum stars. And with that said, before we get to tonight's plotting and planning for the future of the Nerdstravaganza podcast, I figured we'd kick things off in our usual fashion with our weekly geekly weekly update. Chris, why don't you kick us off, man? What you been up to?
Okay, well, it's been a little slower than usual. But as I had mentioned in the previous episode, I'd gotten the Cypher RPG system, and I had a chance to look over and review it. And I'm intrigued. I want to give it a try. Its big selling point to a lot of people is that it's kind of an asymmetric system, basically giving players all the little bibs and bobs they could play with, but making it very easy for the GM on his end. That being said, it still leans more towards being a storytelling style RPG versus being a tactical style RPG, or in plainer sense, it's more about letting you kind of work together and get something together for a story as compared to like you're moving figures on the board like it's a tactical board game. What else I did? Oh, I also have been catching up on Korra, the Avatar, which is a great little show. And the more I'm watching it, the more I'm liking it. For some reason, the first couple episodes dragged for me, but it's been picking up. I think it's a great legacy to Avatar the Airbender, which the first series I was very late to because I thought it was a kid's show, which it is, but it does some great storytelling and has some great characters, and I liked it. So I'm pretty happy right now. That's it for me.
Awesome. Kind of curious, a storytelling versus a tactical RPG system, where does D&D fall in that spectrum?
Depends on what edition you're talking about.
Four, let's say, yeah.
Four is definitely more towards it's a tactical board game. In fact, yeah, four is just a poster child for that. You know, it's a tactical board game on the table. And three kind of has one foot on one side and one foot on the other, leaning a little more towards the tactical side. But second and first and fifth lean much more towards being a little more loosey-goosey and providing people a venue to kind of do a little bit of both kicking ass as well as getting together to make an interactive story.
Okay, that would explain my preference for loosey-goosey systems because I'm much more into, yeah, the interactive story and theater of the mind than you're facing 27.7 degrees to the right of that enemy, therefore your chance to hit is reduced by 6.7%. Like, that's just, bleh.
Let's put it this way for you, Tom. In the Cypher system, the ranges of weapons and spells and whatnot are immediate, short, and long.
Perfect.
That's it. There's no 20 meters, 3 meters, 2 meters, all that stuff. If you're an immediate distance, that means you can hit somebody with your fist, your sword. If it's long, you better pull out that rifle or that wand. Take your pick.
See, I'm the type of guy where, like, we would start combat and, like, one of the players would ask, like, am I in, like, close range with this enemy? And then I would be like, I don't know. And then they would be like, well, I feel like I should be because I kind of, like, walked aggressively into the tavern. Oh, okay, sure. That makes sense. Like, I'm totally about retconning mid-combat.
Oh, don't even get me started. That could be a whole episode on its own.
Yeah, you're there to have fun at the end of the day, I guess. You know? I don't know.
Yeah, well, the key with the role-playing games is, you just got to find the right crowd to have that right kind of fun with. There is no bad, wrong way to have fun with an RPG. You just got to be in sync with your fellow players and your GM.
RPGs and MMOs, the first question you ask when meeting someone new is, what's your favorite system? You can tell so much by...
You can do that by gaming. I mean, we've never touched on that, but like whenever I go to a new town, I always try to hit up the game stores because if I can ask people what games they're into, I can get a bead on their personalities and, you know, which personalities are going to work better with mine and which people I should just let them stay in their own little corner and keep talking about whatever their thing is.
It's not just the smell of home that you miss?
The smell of home is plastic dice and Lots and lots of book glue.
Sure, let's go with that.
It was like the, who is the guest that we had at the Adventure Game Store?
Ken Height.
Yeah, Ken Height was basically like, you know, filter your players. Like, the asshole just shouldn't be there, right? That was his basic philosophy, wasn't it?
Yep.
Exactly.
Yeah, something to be said for that. Not that people who are hyper-technical are assholes, but technically, I've dragged out your Weekly Geekly far too long, so I should probably pass it over to Brian.
I will start with Kickstarter before I move into Star Wars. I had a pretty Star Wars-centric week yet again. But before that, I got Epic the Card Game in the mail.
You bastard!
Yeah, I know. I'm still waiting on mine. I'm pissed.
Mine is at the post office. I got my grappling hook ready tonight.
I was hoping Tuesday to be able to enjoy that, but I couldn't make it to game night. So hopefully they will arrive tomorrow, gents, and we can do that up. I haven't opened it yet because, I mean, I have seen it. You know, I played the print and play, so I know kind of what to expect, but I'm keeping it pristine for as long as possible.
Not even one? Not even, or how many decks did you get, man?
I only got one deck. I really don't think, like, I don't know. I'm not too excited about the whole magic aspect of it, of like buying 100 decks and putting it all together for one massive ultra deck. So I'll just probably play like whatever 2/4 player game out of the box. In the Star Wars stuff, I have a guilty pleasure, and I probably shouldn't admit this because I'm normally such a stickler for canon. But man, the Lego stuff they do on Disney is so fun. Have you guys seen the Star Wars Droid Tales?
No.
So it's a lot like the Yoda Tales were a little while ago, with, you know, Yoda like telling the stories about like the functified Millennium Falcon appearing and like Lando hopping out, and remember those? No, I'm the only one.
Yeah.
No, I think so, actually, yeah.
But now it's the camera follows 3PO on these adventures, and of course, every time he gets a chance, 3PO breaks out into, well, I'm not much of a storyteller, but, and tells these like crazy stories that are, they hit the major plot points, but they just go like totally crazy with the details. And the last one I saw was actually a retelling of A New Hope. And, man, they are so much fun. And, I mean, they're clearly not canon. So they just take that opportunity to just poke fun at everything that fans kind of poke fun at. It's a blast. If you get a chance, I think the first one and the third one are on Disney, like, you know, once a week or something right now. Check them out. A lot of fun.
They poke fun at known flaws in the Star Wars sort of universe that even the fans are aware of.
Yeah, just silliness. Like, today they were talking about how R2 and 3PO got involved in the rebellion. And they actually went back and they talked about they were in Rebels, the series.
Oh, right.
And then they were. They had that one little guest shop. And they made fun of that, like, at the time, 3PO was still loyal to the Empire. And he was like, what are you crazy rebels doing? The Empire is going to get you for this. And he goofed when the rebels kind of captured 3PO and R2. He was just like, don't you know how valuable we are to the Empire? Oh, I shouldn't have said that. Like, it was a lot of fun. There's some really funny stuff. The Yoda ones were a little bit more funny, I think. Because they just did, like, crazy stuff. I'm not even kidding. Like, Lando's Millennium Falcon had, like, a crystal ball dance room.
Wait a minute, Brian. I totally remember that now. Yes. That was awesome.
It's a little bit more on rails, because I guess there are plot points they have to hit, but they're still, it's crazy.
This is canon, too, right?
I don't think these are, yeah. Technically, I think it meets the criteria, because anything that Disney does preceding is supposed to be canon, but even if it is, they would play it off like, well, this is just what 3PO was. It's a story 3PO is telling, so it doesn't have to mesh, you know?
It sounds awesome. And you know what? I don't know why I'm worried about canon. If Clone Wars is canon, anything's fair game, I guess.
Clone Wars is canon.
Yeah, have you guys watched the entirety of Clone Wars?
Still have not.
Yeah, me neither.
Jar Jar Binks has a girlfriend.
Nice.
I'll leave it at that. Awesome, Brian, anything else?
Speaking of canon, the new leading to the movie comic launched, Star Wars Shattered Empire. And, I mean, there's only one issue right now, so it's not a whole lot to talk about. But the first five pages, maybe, are actually the end of Return of the Jedi. And then the remaining pages are, they wake up in the morning, and this is what happens. And it's really canon. And it's Luke, and it's Han, and it's really cool to see, like, those old friends again.
Like, in the immediate aftermath of Jedi, too, right?
I'm totally serious. Like, you know that party that they have at the end with the, yum, yum!
Yes.
It's the next morning. They, like, wake up, and they're cleaning.
Nice. The Yub Yub party never happened. It's the world music ending with the Gungans screaming, Wisa Free! Don't forget.
Oh, God.
But that comic is available now, and I think it's going to run probably six issues to catch people up for until the book that's out now, too, I think.
The book written by our former guest Chuck Wendig, or...
Once in Future.
Yep, Aftermath.
You heard him here first, folks. Chuck Wendig. Scrappy upstart. Awesome, Brian. Anything else?
That's it this week.
All right. Cam, what about you, man?
Oh, man. I was didn't have much of a geeky week. It was my baby cousin. She got married, and it was this whole week-long affair. So that really took up a lot of my time, taking family around that were in town from all over the place. She married some guy from New York, and it was just like, you know, luncheons and dinners and this and that. And so basically I spent most of my time doing that. Still hit the adventure game store though, and did some tabletop gaming, which was awesome. Have not received my, epic card battle game yet, but I'm anxiously awaiting it in the mail. You know, I've just been scouring Kickstarter. There doesn't seem to be that many good offerings lately. You know, typically there's a pretty big trove of goodness on Kickstarter, pretty much something for everyone. Recently I've noticed the it's been a little thin. I don't know if you guys have sort of felt like that, but haven't really seen many good things on Kickstarter. I was able to get from the Adventure Game Store a D&D Icons dragon that I've been looking for quite a long time. Someone that is a regular there actually, brought it in and asked, Brian and Keith there to sell it for him. And I said, hey, don't even bother putting it on eBay. I'll take it. So I was happy to pick that up. Just need, two more of those dragons to complete my collection. And that's about it.
Awesome, man. That sounds like a pretty full week to me. I have to say I've avoided Kickstarter, just because it's done nothing but get me in trouble in the past. It's like eBay on crack.
Yeah, exactly.
I've definitely noticed a lack of quality on.
Yeah, it just seems like nothing really interests me. And to be honest with you, I only backed that Epic Kickstarter because everyone else did. I bowed to peer pressure for the Epic card battle, you know?
Yeah, I kind of only did that for Star Realms too. Like,
yeah,
I didn't want to get left out like I did. Now I have all the promos to be cool.
I'm sorry, I'm a bad influence, guys. I'm sorry.
I mean, that's how they really get you, man. The freaking promos, man. It's just like, I can't not get it. I can't wait and spend half the money and buy it retail and not have the three promo cards.
Kickstarter's particularly effective at hooking in geeks with free tchotchkes and collectibles and things you're not going to be able to get through normal means.
Or ever be able to sell for a profit.
Yeah. Hey, speaking of Kickstarter, Cam, are you... I'm sorry, I should ask first. Does that wrap up your update?
Yeah, no, I will say one thing I wanted to mention is that, aside from our regular game nights, Tuesdays and Thursdays at the Adventure Game Store, on October 10th, I'm going to be demoing the game Maze Racers. It's being sent to me now by the publisher. It's a really fun game, and anyone that wants to learn Maze Racers can come on down to the Adventure Game Store anytime. between 12 and 5 on October 10th. I'll be there. You can meet me. I don't know if that's a incentive or deterrent, but, you know, either way, I'll be there. And if you want to check out a cool game and, you know, play some games, I'll be there.
That's part of Envoy?
Envoy, yep.
Very cool.
And the Adventure Game Store is our sponsor and one of the finest gaming establishments in the South Florida locale in the United States of America. So if you're on the continent, stop by.
Absolutely.
Well, Cam, you mentioned Kickstarter, and by way of a segue into my weekly geekly, I thought I'd mention something that almost falls under news, but I'll just throw it out here. A Kickstarter that we all saw some time back actually seems to have borne fruit, namely that for Another Castle, which was sort of the geek bar hangout place opening like in Oakland Park, which is a city nearby our hometown of Fort Lauderdale.
Yep.
Apparently, I have it on actually definite authority from our friends over at the Nerd Porn podcast. O is a zero. I'm supposed to say that. That the place is, it's opening. They're having like a soft opening and the guys are doing like a live show from there. So
oh, that's cool.
Kickstarter has borne a little local fruit for us. At long last, we can see whether the South Florida market can sustain such a place. I hope it can. And I wish them well. And I think we should go all have a drink of whatever it is we do or don't drink there when we reconvene. So just thought I'd throw that out there. And now I will transition to my own update. I beat Fallout. I beat the original Fallout game.
Nice.
Yeah. One down, let's see, like three or four to go before Fallout 4. It was a pretty cool game. I didn't get the ideal ending. I don't think I buttoned up all of the loose ends I could have, but I'm not going to play through it again. I got my fill. I put something like 45 hours into it by the time all of the like trial and error failures were accounted for. Thank you, Steam, for keeping track of that for me. Brian, I did confirm something for you, though, before I finished the game. There was an encounter with, like, this just knuckle-dragging servant of the bad guy who had a very low intelligence, and I took this drug that, like, raised my strength and everything, but, like, lowered my intelligence to, like, troglodyte levels. And the conversation was, the enemy went, huh? And my guy's only reply option was, So, I just, like, walked away. So, yeah, confirm that even in the first Fallout game, you can make yourself a total knuckle-dragging idiot, and it does change the way the game sort of unfolds.
That's awesome.
Yeah, so now on to Fallout 2 and other things. Also been playing a little more Arkham City when I've had the chance. That game is pretty cool. It is a Batman game, as I'm sure you know. I have also been... I'd also like to mention another thing that I should have mentioned like two episodes ago. My birthday happened to fall during PAX, and my companion's brother was nice enough to get me a little something from PAX. There is a D&D campaign, the Acquisitions Incorporated Dungeons & Dragons play session that goes on at PAX, and my companion's brother was kind enough for my birthday to get me a copy of the Dungeon Master's Guide, autographed and illustrated by one Chris Perkins.
Awesome.
Well-known game designer, yeah, with a cute little beholder drawn inside it, so... Pretty awesome gift, and I just didn't get to mention that because I got back from PAX, and we more or less jumped right into our episode with Murr and company. So I was a little excited about that and sort of forgot to mention that, but that's an awesome addition to my personal collection. And finally, I will round things out with a personal triumph. I received a call from a fake tech support company from Windows, basically. Somebody calling from Windows offering me mandatory tech support. I was able to drag that out into two separate over 1 hour sessions where I played the role of a totally befuddled but enticingly vulnerable codger and or idiot. That's awesome. I made it through like four levels of tech support all the way up to the head geek, who was not at all about my humor. And they finally hung up on me in frustration. So that was really fun. I hope they call back.
That's amazing. Yeah, I've gotten several of those calls over the last like month or so. Like, you have a virus. We need you to get to your computer immediately. Like, come on, guy.
Yeah, I was talking to my fake wife in the room, and she was asking if they could fix her Android iPad by the end of the conversation. No, she has the Android iPad, not the Apple one. It was amazing. Like, I wish I could have recorded it. But, right, so that more or less rounds out my update, and God, I hope I get another one of those calls. And if you do get one and don't have the time to troll them, have them call you back. They actually are really good about that. They really want to swindle you out of money. So, you know, have them call back at an inconvenient time and then just have some fun with them. I did.
So you want me to go to this website, and it's HTTP. That's not working.
That's yes, Chris.
It is on there. Sorry. HTTP? HTTP?
The guy told me to go to a website, which basically is a remote access website, that, you know, where you hand over control of your desktop to them so they can go in and do whatever malicious stuff they want to do.
What? Really?
Yeah, like a log me in, one of those websites, basically.
And, I thought they were trying to get you to talk you into going into a website and giving up your personal information, not actually...
No.
Wow.
The way the scam works is apparently they take control of your system and they like bring up command prompts and do all sorts of scary looking stuff to make it look like you have a virus. Like they pull up your event viewer and all this stuff. So if you're an unsophisticated user, it'll look like you have a virus. And then I'm told they may even install some malware based on what I read. But right, the guy's first instruction was go to suchandsuchwebsite.com, and he made the mistake of saying no spaces. So we had about 20 iterations of www.blahblahblah.com. Something, something, no spaces. That's what you told me. Yes. Well, what's the problem? I don't know. What did you put in?
Over so you typed in no spaces.
Yes.
N-O-S-P-A-C-E.
Yeah, yeah. He's like, no, don't type no spaces. I didn't type no spaces. You told...
Who's on first?
It was hilarious, man. God, it was funny. So, please, I really hope they call back. I almost wish there was a way to create some kind of honeypot of numbers that would just be trolls waiting to waste their time. Oh man, because that was a blast. So highly recommended. Great activity. And puts me in a great mood for tonight's episode. But before we get to tonight's episode, we have some news to discuss. And I think we will maintain the batting order, which means that our intrepid reporter Chris will be going first.
Okay, well, I'm going to start with... a little bit of, I don't call it idiocy, frustration first. I'm sure you guys are familiar about that in some communities there's these little take-it-or-leave-it libraries that are popping up that just citizens who want to help promote reading put up something that looks like a birdhouse and they turn it into a library. You can take a book or you can leave a book. But it turns out now that despite potholes and, you know, burning bridges and... or literally burning bridges, or other things that could deal with. The cities are fighting back and insisting that these things be permitted and or taken down. And I'm like, really? You guys don't have anything else better to do? Let's see, what else we have? Something that leaves me still a little with trepidation is they're going to turn the Stephen King story/movie, I suppose, The Mist, into a TV series. Which, you guys remember The Mist?
I remember the ending.
Awesome. And it was the one where Stephen King said, damn, that's harsh. I wish I had that for the
short
story.
Was a great ending.
And you know what? I still want to get around to watching it in black and white. I heard it was actually going to be in black and white. And then, you know, the suits came in and said, no, keep it color. You'll confuse me. I mean people. And to sum up for those who may have missed it, basically The Mist... is a group of people that are trapped inside a supermarket as this mysterious mist starts to envelop the town. And people who say, screw it, they're just going to walk into the mist. You hear some screaming and you see a body part flying and everyone else just goes, let's stay inside. The other bit of news I have, which makes me happy yet sad at the same time, is they have announced a date for the final StarCraft II episode, which is Legacy of the Void. It's the Protoss, who are my favorite race, but it's on November 10th, which is also the premiere day for
Doctor Who.
Fallout 4, Tom.
Doctor Who Fallout 4.
Yes. Fallout 4. It's going to be the same day that Fallout 4 comes out, which I'm like, what are you doing? No. Many geeks, their wallets will have cried on that day.
Not mine. I'll be playing with my new Pip-Boy on that day.
You know, there may have been a time that StarCraft could have, like, you know, held its own. I don't think it's like that, you know. I mean, it took us 12 years to get to the third one. I think the hype's kind of left the train at this point.
Yeah, I mean, if you delay your titles, if you put that much space between your installments, you can't really expect to hold people's interest, I guess.
And let's be honest, this is the game you should have gotten, like, 3 years ago when Part 1 came out.
Exactly.
Right.
And for me, I'm not really into the competitive scene. I just like to do the solo campaigns. And for me, I rather would have started with the Protoss, and I might have not even gotten around to the other two. It's just, it's a very, for some weird reason, it's a very niche thing for me. I just love the Protoss. Always saw them as a fascinating alien race with some cool special effects, and I'm looking forward to it. And that's about my news, man.
Awesome. Glad cities are cracking down on free book exchanges and that you're into Fallout. That's great. Brian, over to you, sir.
I have some exciting non-news. I don't know if you guys have ever heard of this. It's kind of a big thing for like 12 hours last week. The new Homo species discovered.
You know, I saw like something about that on the news. It didn't follow up.
So they have discovered, I don't even know how to describe it really, very human face, very human, let's see, face, skull, teeth of modern humans, but with elongated limbs and arms for swinging. And it is apparently either a second evolutionary ladder or an undiscovered ancestor in our own tree.
Cool.
Very neat. Very impactful. I mean, this is almost as big as Lucy. And right now, they kind of don't know what to make it because they haven't aged it yet. But this, in some way, will rewrite our understanding of where we come from. And I love this because you often think of engineers as being geeks and astronauts being geeks, but apparently, I don't even know who these people are. Anthropologists? Paleontologists are geeks too. One of the reasons this was so recently discovered is that it's really well hidden. They show a map of the cave in which it was secreted away. And in order to get to it, one must go through Superman's Crawl, which is a passage through the Earth less than 10 inches high, so named because most people can only pass it by extending one arm forward, like Superman flying through the air.
Wow.
So, rewriting human history and including comic book references, all in one good story.
I like it. Amazing how much diversity there was in people in only 10,000 years of history.
I can't even laugh at that. I know it's a joke, but God, I just got chills up my spine.
Sorry, I couldn't resist. Evolution's real. Okay, great. Cam, any news?
Yeah, I got a few things. AT&T users that have the unlimited plan will be happy to know that your throttling will be extended from 5 gigabytes to 22 gigabytes monthly.
All right.
So, still not unlimited, but
right.
At least it's 22 gigabytes rather than 5 gigabytes. It still baffles me that it's the unlimited plan that I've been paying for 3 years, and it's never been unlimited. Let's see. Any James Bond fans?
Yes.
Of course.
Spectre is the new movie that's coming out in November, I believe. If you really like Spectre, you can go to Regal and buy a cool little black card that has the little Spectre logo on it, and it entitles you to watch the movie once per day while it's in theaters.
Cool.
The problem is it's $100, which I don't know. I mean, $100, man, come on. Like, I don't need to watch it in the movie theater that many times. But hey, maybe there are some fans out there that, you know, that appeals to. We've talked about the Tesla many times, and I'm definitely not buying a Tesla now that I've seen Porsche's new Mission E electric vehicle.
Uh-oh.
Have you guys seen this car? It is fucking badass.
No.
First of all, just specs wise, just looking at it, it looks better, way better than the Tesla. It looks like an amazing Porsche, but like, you know, from the future. And then it charges way faster than the Tesla. The Porsche can charge to 80% in just 15 minutes.
Wow.
Yeah. Whoa. So it has an 80% charge, which translates to 250 miles, basically. It's top end 311 miles for a full charge. So if it, you know, charges 80%, it's 250 miles. The Tesla only goes about 250, 260 miles on a full charge. So it has a farther range. It charges much faster. Just to give you an idea, the 15 minute charge that it takes to get to 80% on the Porsche, translates to 40 minutes on the Tesla. And that's not even with just the standard setup. You have to buy, they have what's called a supercharger, which is extra that you have to buy if you want to get that speed of charging. It's just a beast. It's 600 horsepower, 0 to 60 in 3.5 seconds. And it did the Nürburgring in under 8 minutes, which is like a pretty big accomplishment for any car, let alone an electric car. So basically it's right on par with the Porsche Cayenne and the Panamera Turbo, which is, you know, the traditional gas, Porsches. So that is in my future, I believe. Boeing has rolled out a 787 Dreamliner that is basically themed as R2-D2. Have you guys seen that? It's pretty awesome. Yeah, it's pretty fucking awesome. I just want to fly on it. That's pretty cool. And last but not least, November 1st, NASA is launching its a 4K TV channel. Which I'm very happy about because I love both NASA and I have a 4K TV and the offerings are pretty paltry in 4K. So I'm looking forward to all the cool things that NASA is going to transmit to me in 4K clarity. And that about rounds up my news.
Sweet. Speaking of NASA, did you see the, I think it was the Onion article about them deploying a rover to Congress in search of funding?
Yeah. They need to dispatch something to look for intelligent life in Congress.
Yes, indeed.
Amen.
Well, that's cool news about the Porsche. That's going to be price-wise kind of around what the Tesla is, or?
I think it's going to be a little more. Let me confirm that for you right now. It's still a concept car right now. So I don't know what the final price tag is going to be, but I mean, the fucking Tesla's $100,000. I mean, you know what I mean? Like it can't be that much more.
Yeah, you're laying down some serious cash either way. So
yeah, it can't be that much more, although it is Porsche. So who knows, but like many other technical things, the German engineering comes through.
true. Awesome. Well, I think that pretty much rounds out the news. Any comments on the news or further bits you guys want to discuss? Speak now or forever. Hold your okay. Time to start the episode. Start the main topic, I mean, of course. And this time around, we're going to be a little inward focused as we ponder the future. 174 being a pretty big deal. It's a number that really is symbolic of a lot of things. It's a very special number in a lot of cultures. I think we all agree.
Absolutely.
/ we just decided this would be a cool topic.
Right.
We thought we would discuss our future. The future of the Nerdstravaganza podcast as we see it. We will put our geeky minds toward crafting a better Nerdstravaganza brand, even, let's say. So this is almost a Dream Factory episode. Except the podcast and the brand can't really be made in a factory, can it?
It's unique unto itself. right. can't be made anywhere.
Not even German engineering could come
exactly.
So with that said, I thought I would kind of motivate discussion by stipulating, well, okay, by recommending, but not neither stipulating nor demanding, that each of us come up with something we want to do kind of in the near term, maybe something easily obtainable in the near future. And then each of us should also come up with like a just a crazy, wacky, hey, this is where we want to go. It would be awesome someday if we did this idea as well. So near and future, reasonable and totally crazy, wild and unreasonable. And sort of give our listeners an idea where we're heading, at least in our minds, and give our competitors really some dumb ideas to try to steal from us. So with that said, I'm happy to go first unless one of you guys wants to jump in.
Do it, man. Do it.
Okay. I'll do a demonstration. Short-term goal, I think I want to set up one of those new PlayStation communities for the Nerdstravaganza. Have you guys heard about this? It's part of the new patch that yep. either is or will be rolling out.
I have soon. Not.
Basically, they're like gaming communities, and they're centered around whatever you want. And I am not 100% sure whether or not they tie into YouTube streaming, which I also understand is going to be supported. But the notion being that I think somebody like the Nerdstravaganza podcast could set up a gaming community and invite people to be part of it. So that's, I think, a near-term goal that is pretty attainable because all we have to do is leverage what is already there.
That sounds like an awesome idea.
Yeah.
Well, I know that a recent interview with some of the top brass running the Dungeons & Dragons brand, they said that when it comes to getting the word out, Twitch has become their biggest friend.
Just so we should do Twitch? We should have a Twitch presence too, maybe?
Maybe. You know, but they say is you know, just watching people play the game gets more people into wanting to jump into the game and play it. And then... you know, we had the huge thing with Titan's Grave and on Will Wheaton's, RPG show. And those books sold out at Gen Con.
So there's something to be said for community as a value. There's something to be said for the value in a community, in other words.
Especially when it's, you know, hooked up with a console, like the PlayStation. Twitch. Or Twitch.
Yeah, it may be because I've listened to too many gaming podcasts lately, but I want to say that somehow they're adding support for the YouTube streaming. Twitch is already there, I believe, but you guys are aware that YouTube is... I guess Google's a little butthurt about Amazon coming in and sniping Twitch out from under them at some point, so they're launching their own competitor, basically, in the form of YouTube gaming. It was all over PAX, actually, so...
Yeah.
Might be a ground floor opportunity. I think this YouTube platform is probably going to be around.
Yeah, I think they might make it.
So add exploring that to maybe our near-term goals for me too. Maybe look into some YouTube gaming stuff.
Well, my short-term goal was sort of tied into that, which is actually to move us from the... Just, you know, from add a face to the show, you know. Put us on... get us on either Twitch or YouTube and, you know, do a Google Hangout, something, you know, and just record us visually as well as audio-wise while we're, while we're doing the show. I think that's probably a short-term goal that we can attain pretty easily. And I think the listeners who will then become viewers would enjoy that.
You know what, Cam? I like that idea, and I've actually lined up some handsome individuals, some models that we just
stand-ins for.
Yeah, we can just dub our voices over, and they will remain viewers after watching the first. No, I like that idea. Actually, I think we should take the plunge into video. I believe it's here to stay.
Yeah, and which would of course mean I would. Couldn't do the show in my underwear anymore, but I mean, whatever. I'll take one for the team.
Yeah, just do it naked. I mean, that's less to put on.
No, I mean, like, you know, then we'd have to put parental warnings on there. And that's a big hassle.
I mean, we're not threatening. just kidding. A little self-deprecating. We are very alluring, so we would definitely need to put a parental warning up.
Yes.
Brian, Chris, what do you think of these ideas so far?
I don't know enough about the PlayStation communities to be excited about them. I think that's a really cool idea. I don't remember who had tossed it around in the past. The Steam communities would be a thing too. Like, you know, just play games with users. Like, don't necessarily have to broadcast it or anything like that. That might be fun. And I'm all for moving into more real-world events. I think I mentioned it last week, the possible convention suite. I think that'd be neat. You know, not necessarily, like, all of us crashing in one suite, but having some place to go after hours and, like, just play tabletop, just play PlayStation, just hang out, you know? Like, it'd be fun.
Like, have our own little party pad, you know, at Dragon Con or something, say. Invite people.
Yeah. Even the local stuff, man. Like MegaCon. Just... because MegaCon gaming, I don't know. I've never really loved it. I don't know what it is exactly about it. But, you know, maybe just a room to... anybody can come in and play. And there's, like, two or three tables and play games and, you know, go to sleep when you're done or whatever. One of my favorite convention experiences was ChibiPaw 2-3 years ago, where that's exactly what they did. There was a gaming room, and there was like a hippie asleep in the corner, and there was some guy that was like Red Bull fueled. He's like, I haven't slept since I got here. It's been 3 days. And we played like 5 or 6 games, and it was just really chill and really cool.
I like it. It's kind of like a lounge / hangout for people to come in and relax and so on, and I like it. That's really cool. And I know you've always been more about the outreach in real life, and that's paid dividends for us, so I definitely like that idea.
We, a long time ago, this was actually before I was soured on the Florida Renaissance Fest, just renting one of those pavilions for the weekend.
Oh, like the ones outside the RenFest, you
yeah,
mean?
Yeah, like the park is open that weekend. You can still hang out there and play kickball or whatever. Shit, we're all going to be there anyway.
I kind of like that idea a lot. Like, hey, if you're going to the RenFest, stop by and see us. We're not part of the RenFest, but we're hanging out. We're going to be coming and going, and it's going to be our little home base. So stop by, have a bottle of water. Well, no, we're not getting into the concessions. No. No refreshments to be had.
But, no, we're going to... kick a rubber ball at your face.
Yeah.
No, I actually really want to play kickball. That would be awesome.
We could do that. Yeah, I logistically, I think that's possible because those pavilions are still available, I think, during the event, are they not? Like, that's a really awesome idea, actually, Brian.
And I can't imagine they're high demand because I've never seen a soul in any of them during that weekend.
Right.
I think it's a lousy weekend to hold your kid's 7th birthday party, you know?
Well, if you have the right kind of kid, it's the best weekend.
No, I'm saying you'd be in the Renaissance Fair, not at a pavilion.
Oh, true. Yeah, I mean, there's times I wish I could get away from the Renaissance Festival and, like, recharge, relax, and then go back in without actually having to go home. So that sounds appealing. Why don't you set it up, and I'll just come as a guest.
Yeah.
Awesome. Chris, how do these ideas sound to you, / what you got, near-term, realistic?
Well, for me, I would miss the days that I didn't have to shave or put on a t-shirt when I did these podcasts. Because, you know, my air conditioning I have right now sucks, and it's really loud, so I have to do this kind of, you know, in a little, you know, I don't know what you want to call it, half-naked fashion. From the waist up, and it's just not a pretty picture. It's not.
If you didn't shave for long enough, then you wouldn't have to put on a t-shirt. So the problem works itself out.
It does, but it takes a while for that. It's just not like you can rub Evergrow into your beard and then you're good
you're
to go.
You're on notice. Start growing.
Yes.
You know, well, I'm more curious about finding ways we can get, you know, feedback from our fans. For an example... you know, short term, maybe we love to do our Geekly Weekly and our news, but sometimes I think we get kind of caught up trying to make sure we have to have all these items, and I think maybe we should do less items and just what items we have, we cover more in depth. A perfect example was I talked about the role-playing game thing, and instead of just, you know, mentioning it, moving on, you know, Tom had some good questions, and we found out a little bit more. Hopefully our fans would enjoy that versus just going through a list. And I've been guilty of that more than most people, just trying to be an overachiever there. I got to have 5 or 6 things. And by the time we all have 5 or 6 things, you know, we've been here for a while, guys. The magic of editing, but trust me, we've been here for a while.
No, I know, Chris, but it's because you want to share all this stuff. Like, you're, like, totally geeking out on it, right?
Exactly, exactly.
Yeah.
Plus a little bit
you
of
never know. Yeah, and you never know what, you know, someone's going to want to hear about either, you know? Like, you know, there may be people out there that just were like, ah, fuck RPGs, you know? But they were happy to hear about your next story, you know? So it's just sort of scattershot. I mean, I think that's what the news is about, right? We find something that we think is interesting, and hopefully our listeners are, you know, I mean, if they're listening to our podcast, chances are, you know, they're going to hit on something.
There's at least a 5% chance they're going to like something we're talking about.
Yeah.
That's as likely as a critical hit in Ninja Dragons. That's astounding.
Yeah.
Yes, it is. So a little change in maybe the pace, the quantity versus quality, perhaps, of the news, or perhaps not. I like that idea.
And I also think it puts our guests a little under a little less pressure, because I'm sure that a lot of our great guests, they kind of come on, they like to participate as our guest co-hosts, but then they're kind of like, ah, homework. I don't think some of them are in the mood for that.
We don't want those slackers on the show.
Yeah.
We're serious outfit here.
I guess long term, I would like to see if we could get some merchandising.
Yeah, that's a good idea.
I like the idea of merchandising. I like the idea of coming up with our own gear and cool stuff. There's a lot of highly proprietary and sensitive ideas we can't share, I'm sure.
Well, I wouldn't mind just seeing nerd extravaganza across, you know, boobies and conventions all over the world, you know? I think t-shirts would be good.
Someone's going to steal that, girls. Liking our brand? No.
I think we're safe on the t-shirt angle, but yes, proprietary our other proprietary ideas will remain secret.
We have to figure out how to capitalize on the nerd burlesque stuff. We need like nerd extravaganza glass pasties.
Booby tassels.
Yeah. Maybe like a lens on each teat or something.
That would be awesome. With like a little chain in between the two to make the glasses.
By the way, totally sexist and completely ignorant as to the nature of our audience for me to think that boobies are exclusive to women in our scene.
Of course. Yeah.
Many a male listener probably.
Many a male gamer.
Well endowed in that regard, yeah. Oh, man.
Sorry. Really don't want to admit this, but I have this great idea. I was talking about the Trump quotes earlier. Now I have the, you know, which gender is this rack? Like, our pasties?
Well, once we get on YouTube or Twitch, that could be like a segment, you know? Just put up pictures. All right, male or female?
Does anybody own the Guess brand anymore? Could we buy that? Because I think we have a Guess. I can't really tell.
Oh, man.
Oh, man. I definitely like the merchandising angle. That's awesome.
Well, just to let you know, I heard an old school story about Gen Con. One year, there was these guys. They all looked fit, like they just come from the gym. And they all wore the same t-shirt, which was Gamers for Fitness. And on the back, it said, I'm not fat, why are you? They weren't really popular.
Oh my God.
So they're there to fat shame the gamers? Like,
yes.
Like, that's the wrong place to be wearing that kind of shirt.
And that crosses a line. I mean, you can promote fitness without humiliating people.
Yeah.
Like, I like the Darth Vader shirt that says, I find your lack of strength disturbing or something like that. Like, yeah. That's kind of cool. It's like a nerdy way to say, hey, you know, you hit the gym, it's good for you. But without, yeah, you don't have to shame people. Like, I'm not disgusting. Why are you, you piece of crap?
Oh, why not? It's the outrage culture these days on the internet, right?
What is that, microaggression?
Yes. Yeah. You can't get your word across unless you're getting everybody all riled up.
Actually, I think that T-shirt was presented as a microaggression. It was presented in a negative light. Like, I cannot believe they're co-opting our culture for this. Like, whereas a macroaggression, as I call it, would be like, you're fat, I hate you.
Yeah. I mean, I think I'm sort of fit, right? I mean, I would have been offended by that as well. I mean, as a former fat kid, like, you know, okay, you're fit. Great. Good job, guy. But like,
don't be an ass about it.
Yeah. I mean,
inspire. Don't like, you know.
Yeah. Maybe like, hey, I'm fit and I'm a gamer. Ask me how or something like, you know what I mean? Not like fucking what's wrong with you, fat boy, you know? Like,
Right.
So I guess technically microaggression is what we used to call passive aggressive to some degree.
I don't know how passive that is.
I don't think
though.
It's passive. Yeah, exactly. It's not passive. It's just not as overt as usually.
Microaggressions are so passive that you're not even aware you're doing them. What they are inadvertent slights, and they are now classified as microaggressions.
Okay, so foot and mouth disease. All
right. Right, but I mean they're right. It's meant to be like, to me, it's like a joke. It's like the PC police. It's like now, no matter what the fuck I say, I'm microaggressive towards somebody. You know what I mean? Like it's a joke.
It's absurd because the term aggression implies intent, and like, you know, say, hey, nice shoes might be taken as a microaggression to somebody who feels that their ethnic group is associated with an obsession with shoes or something.
Jordans. Yeah, exactly.
Right. Like, I didn't know that. I didn't know that people from Trinidad were stereotyped as liking shoes. I'm sorry. Well, you committed a microaggression. No, I really had no idea. I mean, there are certain, of course, Nurse Travaganza disclaimer. Don't be offensive to people. Don't be a dick. But Jesus, man, sometimes if it's so passive that the person doing it doesn't even know they're doing it, not really an aggression.
Yeah, and this is totally different than like grandpa saying, you know, those Negroes. You know what I mean? Like, he doesn't know either, but that's still, you know, that's still wrong.
Grandpa
but
still like, needs to be taught.
Right. It's totally different than like you said, Tom, like, oh, hey, man, that's a cool hat. Like, oh, why? Because I'm, you know, I'm black. I got to wear a nice fedora. You know, it's like
exactly.
You know, ridiculous.
I didn't really know that black people had a thing with fedoras. Yeah, I bet you did. No, exactly. I really did. I mean,
thank you for this teaching opportunity. I've learned.
Oh, man.
Oh, God. Okay, we got a little off topic there. So, T-shirts. Sporting a little bit thicker skin, maybe that'll be our first line. It's not a microaggression if I had no idea I was doing it.
T-shirts and booty shorts. I'm like Manolo from Scarface. I want, you know, our brand across girls' asses all over the world, or guys, whatever.
Yeah, we do not discriminate. Whatever. They're booty shorts. Anybody can wear them.
Exactly. If you have a booty, feel free.
There was this. Just absolutely brilliant moment. You remember the Drew Carey show?
Yeah, I love that show.
Drew was dating this like gorgeous thinner model or something like that, and she gave him a thong as a joke gift, like, you know, I'm gonna wear this thong for you.
Yeah.
And he opened it, and his response was, I'll wear it. You won't be able to see it, but I'll wear it. So for branding, that may not be the best.
The thong? No.
If your product disappears on someone,
it'll turn into an advertisement for like Narcotics Anonymous, because all you'll see is the NA.
Nerd Extravaganza clothing. It's the thought that counts.
Yeah.
I'm wearing a sexy thong for you. I can't see it. Yeah, but it's the thought that counts. Okay. I've got another one, guys. It's
okay.
Short and maybe it's short and possibly also a long-term thing. I have this weird way of thinking where like random phrases or titles of things pop into my head, and like I'm obsessed with the name, and the details get filled in later. So I have not been able to get the apocalypse out of my head since around August. The apocalypse is an event that I envision us holding maybe at the Adventure Game Store, maybe around Halloween, that somehow involves the Japanese snack Pocky and, I don't know, horror games. Somehow I have to square Pocky, apocalypse, and an event that we could do annually, seasonally, for a given holiday, etc., at the Adventure Game Store, somewhere else. I don't know. I thought I'd bounce that off of you. If you like the name, we've got something and we can run with it.
Well, I mean, they did Twinkies for that zombie movie.
Oh, yeah.
The awesome one with Woody Harrelson.
I love that movie. What was that called again?
Zombie.
I don't remember.
Yeah, Zombieland, yeah, yeah. Yes. I was going for Zombieville, and I knew that was wrong.
So, think of the apocalypse, guys. I mean, like a game.
I'm down, man. I'm down.
Do you like a game, a gaming thing, and you like win Pocky? I don't want to make it competitive, because I don't want, like, the...
No, I think, you know, you get Pocky for coming, and then, you know, there can be, you know, extra, you know, you get the super Pocky if you win something. You know what I mean? Or,
yeah,
there can be
like
something where everyone's included.
I don't know if this works, but consumable, like, health bars. So, like, if you get hit, you have to take a bite of your Pocky. Or, like, if you cast a spell, you have to take a bite of your mana Pocky. And then you can do microtransactions. Like, that'll be a quarter for the stick of Pocky. So you refill your mana.
I like that a lot, actually.
That's cool.
Like, make a metagame out of it or something. That's pretty cool.
Yeah, I think our players would like it at the Adventure Game Store.
Yeah.
So basically, it would be something like a drinking game with Pocky.
Yeah.
Well, it'd be an eating game, rather than a drinking game.
But yeah, Pocky would be involved. And we can incorporate it into the mechanics of existing games. We can come up with our own little game. Who knows? There's a lot of possibilities.
Pocky Jenga.
No, in a, two rooms and a boom, Pocky. Every time you have to flash your card, you got to eat.
Yeah, you can do that.
I like that, actually. All right. Well, let's take this one offline. I think it's got legs.
Ideas abound.
Yeah.
We'll put a pin in it. Well, I'll put a pin in it right there. Okay, we'll get back to that. We'll get back.
We'll roll the event out at the Adventure Game Store. We'll take it with us on the road to different cons when we have our little suites and so on.
Yeah, for sure.
Nice.
For sure. Look, people always like free food, and people go crazy for Pocky, so I don't see how it can be a loser.
Yeah, I like it. And, it all keeps coming back to that sweet idea Brian had. I really like that idea of kind of doing this cool little Nerdtravaganza community presence. Both suites at hotels and, like, a pavilion outside a convention. Like, you're outside of a Renfest and so on.
I feel like if we're advertising free games, free Pocky, you know, I'm sure we could add some other stuff in there. I mean, how could it not be cool? You know, how could it not be fun?
Look, if people don't come for that, it's us.
Yeah, exactly. Then, you know, we need to look into doing our laundry or something.
Hi, I was calling about your apocalypse. Are you guys actually going to be there? Because that would be the only thing that would keep me away. Really.
Can you just leave it out front like the people did back in the day with the pumpkin on Halloween? Just take one, please.
I'm very uncomfortable around you guys, yeah, but the Pocky sounds nice.
Okay, but you gotta come in the room if you want the Red Bull.
Oh, God. Oh, tempting, but no.
I mean, it's free marketing, you know, and we can hand out, you know, we can have our, you know, our merchandise, our shirts, our booty shorts, all that stuff. Sounds like a winner.
Yeah, agreed. And if we see an apocalypse event popping up on the internet, we'll know, one, that we have listeners, and two, that they're copying us.
I will fucking sue. Cameron Kershaw Esquire. Tremble at the sound of that. No one else does. But
Esquire means he's a knight.
Yeah.
He'll shove his legal lance right through your throat.
Exactly. I'll be like that dick in New York that did the trial by combat, requested the trial by combat in the courtroom.
Was this guy, like, even skilled in combat arts such that he would request something like that?
Well, I think he gave himself the option of having a champion.
Oh, right.
Like Tyrion did.
So he brings in like an MMA fighter. Yeah, we talked about this. Okay.
Sure. Yeah.
Oh, God. So, guys, let's not that the apocalypse isn't in left field enough, but let's shift gears. We touched on future a little bit. Let's touch on outlandish future if you guys want. At any disappoint in the future, any technology set, any new norms in society, consider anything you want. Where would you like to see us? Just crazy, wild nerdtravaganza of the future. What are you guys dreaming up?
I mean, I'd love to see us in five figures in, you know, in terms of Facebook likes, YouTube subscribers, iTunes, you know, all that stuff. I mean, we're doing pretty well. I mean, we're getting, you know, our numbers are good, but, you know, I think if we continue to build on that, I think, you know, that would be my goal is to, you know, five figures in those, specifically those two things, YouTube subscribers, you know, Instagram followers, you know, Twitter followers, five figures. I think that's when we will know we've arrived.
I like it. And I agree. I always use it as a gold standard. One of my favorite podcasts, which is Giant Bomb. Hardly a plucky podcast that nobody's heard of. They're kind of a pretty big deal in podcasting. And
they're giant.
They are giant. Numbers even remotely approaching theirs would, yeah, definitely signify that we're a thing. We're a big thing. So, and I, with the trajectory we're on, you know, we could get there. I'm really pleased with our pretty steady growth. So, yeah, I'm with you on that. Five figures and beyond.
Yes.
I'm oddly torn on my long-term goal. I either want to, like, do the con circuit as a professional attendee or open a site here, not necessarily for cons, but for, you know, nightly socializing, weekly socializing, barcade, cafe, hangout, whatever you want to call it.
Social venue of some sort?
Yep.
Yeah, yeah. I like having a space, be it permanent or otherwise, yeah, to call our own. Which is, I think, kind of, in a way, that's what the Adventure Game Store provides for us now, you know? It's
absolutely.
So I think we have the first step towards that, but...
That's what makes it a little bittersweet. Like, I hate to think of leaving that. But we can still do Tuesdays and Thursdays there, and... You know, Monday, Wednesday, Friday at
Ganza Cafe.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I mean, you know, there's no saying we won't bring our friends along with us, you know, that we won't incorporate our current sponsor and gaming haunt into our future plans.
We got to run the Herbalife folks out next door, and then we can take that
just,
over.
Just take over. Yeah. Just knock down the wall in between. And...
What is Herbalife like a weight loss potion of some sort?
It's a multi-level marketing bullshit.
So yes. In short, it's snake oil.
Yeah.
Mm. Yeah, let's get them out of there.
Snake oil and loud thumpy music.
Yeah, is that just indoctrination going on? Like they're having like cult parties to.
I think it's like. Probably like, you know, yeah, all right, you know, you had this much sales and you're invited to this party and, you know, whatever, and we're going to encourage you to go out and make more sales and con your friends into buying this shit that we're pumping, you know.
Remind your friends that while buying a product is something they're used to doing, unlike, say, Walgreens, we encourage them to become a Walgreens of their in their own
yeah.
right.
Yeah.
Even if they tissue, have why not open your own store?
Right. Yeah.
I mean, of course, if Herbalife wants to sponsor the podcast, I think it's the best product ever.
Hey, you're tired of working a 9-to-5 job. Become your own small business owner today with Herbalife.
Exactly. I have an exciting opportunity to discuss with you.
You can have your own podcast.
Yeah. Do you guys remember the Asian guy way back in the day? Come to my free seminar. And he like
the guy the on the boat boats with,
like,
and everything.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. With like the hot chicks. That guy was the man. We need to do that for Nerdtravaganza. You can have your own podcast and just have like a bunch of hot chicks on a boat. Like, you want this? It's within your reach.
One day I was walking in Walmart and I said to myself, why can't I be a Walmart? Well, yeah. Now I can't. Now I am, and you can be too.
funding, business acumen. There's a lot of reasons.
No, we're all in this together, Cam. See, I start my own Walmart, and then you start a Walmart, but you give a portion of your proceeds to my Walmart that helps me get a little bigger, and then so on and so forth down the chain, so we're all helping each other become Walmarts.
Yeah, that's right, and it's a chain, not a pyramid, a chain.
Yeah.
In like six generations, the entire population of the world will be Walmarts, so I don't see why we can't all do it.
God, wait, MLM no. was just a phrase that would immediately make me clench my fist. Oh, God.
Yeah, it's I. You don't really need to even be good at math. You just need to understand like the way pyramids work to realize like it cannot. It's not sustainable. Like a handful of people can get money out of it until everybody else gets wise. You know.
Yeah, it's great if you're like first in, but you know.
Right. Yeah, but it's, oh, God.
But our podcast affiliates won't have to worry about anything like that.
No.
Totally not a pyramid.
No. Say, so we have a very prestigious consultant on this, just to make sure none of that happens. It goes by the name of Mr. Madoff.
Yes. You may have heard of him, Bernard Madoff.
Yeah, Bernie.
That's one of those little bits of, like, real life that you can't make up.
Yeah.
Because if I was like trying to pitch a book about this guy doing a Ponzi scheme that would like wreck half of the financial world, and I said, "Oh,
what was it like?"
He's like,
"Yeah, was it like 60 billion or something like that?"
Exactly. Oh, God. And his last name is Madoff.
It's Madoff.
Get it?
Yeah.
They'd be like, "Gotta change that name. No one's gonna believe that."
Hi, I'm Tom Scheister. I've got an investment opportunity for you. No, just no. Sorry, no.
he gets brought down by John Everyman.
Right. I'm John Q. Public, and I'm bringing you down. Right, so yeah, our proprietary business opportunity is unlike anything you've ever seen. Be your own businessman. Join us today.
Or be your own boss.
Right. Everybody's going to have their own podcast in the future.
Just for just $9.99, we'll send you our tapes.
Yeah, exactly.
Oh, man.
What's sad is that we would probably make money.
I know, but like then I would kill myself.
Yeah, exactly.
I would just feel like such a piece of crap.
I got a new car, and I feel really, really dirty inside.
Anyway.
I think I'd sleep pretty well, but, you know, that's me.
Anyway, you herbal supplement people, we're coming for you. We're taking your space for our own pyramid scheme, so your days are numbered. I'll get vague and like future loosey-goosey. I want us to have some kind of a virtual reality presence. The Nerf Travaganza VR portal. And
that would be pretty awesome.
The name sounds awesome. I have no earthly idea what it is, but I'm glad you like the name.
We can put our studio in like a visitable form.
Ooh, I like that. Like that. That's actually really cool. Okay, we'll have our studio. Here's what we'll do. We'll have a VR visitable place where you can visit us, right? On our walls, we'll have panels, right? Where people visiting, their avatar will actually appear as though they're standing there with us. And they can leave little notes and stuff for it. How do I put this? It's like they're walking up from within a mirror and they can like write little messages like, "Hey, so-and-so was here." It's almost like they're there. It's almost like an AR experience for us, but a VR experience for them.
That's pretty awesome.
That's really cool. Let's do that. That's going to cost about
$800,000. Yeah.
I know what everyone's opinion about this game/program is, and I can't fault them for it, but there is more to it than just sex and swinging groups. Started on Second Life, man.
Yeah, you know, we've discussed that in the past. Second Life is actually, sadly, it is a little bit of a perv. Sorry, I'm not going to judge. Sadly, it is a little sex focused, but yeah, that could totally be like a place to have our presence.
The numbers are probably exactly equal to the internet. 80% of the internet is porn, But people, you know, like, it's the internet. That doesn't matter. But 80% of Second Life being porn, and it immediately gets stigmatized.
Good point. Good point. Yeah. Maybe that could be a jumping off point. I have to get past my laziness.
We can design our social venue there.
Actually, yeah. Holy shit. Yeah, well, I just used a curse word. That's how excited I am. Yeah, we could do our prototype there and then make it a reality. We'll get some Linden books and convert those to dollars. That last part's a joke, but actually, yeah, I kind of like that. All right, let's all get on to Second Life right after this and plan our future.
I'll start making Lindens by dancing in adult clubs.
Chris Kemp, have you guys ever entered Second Life? I don't want to say play, because it's not really a game per se. But
no, I never got into that or like The Sims or anything like that. I was never really like into those kind of things.
Yeah, it didn't do much for me, so I didn't get around to it.
The closest I ever got was Leisure Suit Larry back in the day.
Second Life it's more a persistent world, which is kind of what I like about it, right, Brian? It's not a game per se, is it? It's a place to have a life, or a first one.
Yeah, I mean, you can play games there. There definitely are games there, but I mean, when you can do anything in the virtual universe, playing a game is boring as shit.
Yeah.
Would you rather play a game or visit the Garden of Eden?
All right, I'll take
right, I'll take right, it. Right.
Rather, you know, sit down and play play Space Invaders or play baseball with the Kool-Aid guy.
Oh, that was cool. I remember that. Yeah, it's really, it's kind of awesome, actually, conceptually. we're going to make you guys go into Second Life. Project Second Life. Our next episode is going to be a report on your experiences in Second Life. Actually, that's a cool episode idea. Don't steal that, competitors. We know you're listening.
What do you call it? That'll be a meetup. We'll log on to Second Life and visit, I don't know, visit the Garden of Eden together.
Dig it.
So I guess there's a theme for me, because I guess my far-out crazy idea would be something, you know, going beyond just merchandising, but, you know, actually doing games or, like, fiction books or something like that. A media empire, I don't know, an entertainment empire. Board games, the whole nine yards, that sort of thing. Video games, I don't know so much.
Just because of interest level, or you think that's a much more daunting thing to make?
Just a much more daunting thing to make. A perfect example, I wouldn't say, I mean, I guess in some ways they're kind of in our space. You know, the Penny Arcade guys, they do, you know, a lot of web comics, but you know, they branched out into other things, and they tried to do the video game thing. And it took them literally years to do all four of the episodes they wanted to do, and they had to change video game development firms to get it done.
True, but...
And have you guys even played those games yet?
I've not, no.
Ah,
no.
Okay.
But, Chris, they've got what I consider a good problem to have. So these are guys who came from literally a webcomic, which is entertaining. I mean, I've on and off through the years read it, and still do to this day. From that, they've built like a successful series of conventions. They've got their own merchandising up the wazoo. They've got their own paid membership website. I mean, they're successful to the point where they could do like a game development effort, and if it fails, they're not penniless. You know what I mean? They have the freedom to experiment, to take chances like that.
They have an R&D budget.
Yeah, seriously. Yeah. I mean, if you want to gold standard for where you'd like to be, I mentioned Giant Bomb, that's one. Another one would definitely be Penny Arcade. Having been to a few PAX events now, I can definitely attest to the fact that they are wildly successful.
Yeah, for me, a con would be another thing where I'd be a little more, have more trepidation.
Setting up, creating your own convention?
Yes, we're in exactly the worst area for a new con.
The worst area, South Florida?
It's just saturated, dude.
It really is. It's almost like being on an island because we're on the southern tip of a massive peninsula. So geographically, we're somewhat isolated, aren't we? I mean, we're a major metro area, but we're an isolated major metro area. People aren't rolling in from Iowa and Ohio and so on, you know, necessarily. And yeah, to Brian's point, it's quite saturated, given the fact that it's isolated. But, you know, there are other ways to build our brand, and once we've got quadrillions of dollars, why, we can hire a crack staff of convention organizers and make our own if we really want.
We'll just buy ourselves a convention.
Yep. They bought this con. Yes, we did.
We own it. Actually, probably the smarter play would be just to be stockholders in a con company and then just enjoy the benefits.
Yeah.
And dividends.
There you go. Yeah, I like that too.
I'm not sure if it's short-term or long-term or mid-term or whatever, but I want to see one Nerdtravaganza app.
Oh, like a phone app or something? Or
yeah.
Okay.
Ganzap. That's a good name.
Any idea what it would do, or you just kind of like that? It's just conceptually, you dig that idea.
I mean, I have an idea, but conceptually, I just dig that, like, branching out into that kind of attainable market. I mean, you know, having our own con is little out there. Having our own video game company, little out there. I feel like we could make an app.
The Ganzap. Yeah, I like it. I think we can too. Coming up with like an idea of something that's not too ambitious. So, geez, that sounds like we're selling ourselves short. Something attainable and something useful and appealing to people. That's kind of the trick. But I think if we put our heads together, we could probably do that.
Absolutely.
I dig that. I would say that's a mid-level goal in terms of effort and not even. It doesn't have to be years away,
sure.
Actually. Yeah, but it's probably a good... Before we get into VR, we could probably start with an app.
Yeah.
You make a good point. We have a pretty good game plan coming together for this Nerdtravaganza thing. So, this has kind of also helped me get my head around something, which is, you know, primarily we're a podcast right now, but Nerdtravaganza itself, as a brand, can be like a bunch of things, right?
I would say that... I mean, I think... We started as a podcast. I honestly think our gaming events are more successful. Not to say that this is not successful whatsoever, but I think like they have surpassed.
Yeah, you think that those are, they have more, even they're local kind of in nature, but they have more of an impact, you think, like on the community and so on?
Yeah, they're pretty big. Maybe it's just because you see it. Like, I was blown away when someone was like, oh, I'm your fan. And I was like, we have fans, holy shit. But now, like, having people who, like, game with us regularly is just neat. Is just more of a thing to me.
That is kind of cool. Nobody ever approaches me and says, I'm a fan. I think they're all just your fans, 2000. Brian. I'm a fan of that one guy that's not you on the show. Oh, Brian? Yeah, him. Oh, okay. But yeah, I think we should definitely look to the future and God, that's so cliche. I didn't want to end this on a cliche, like on like a stupid like Brady Bunch, like and remember the future is not the past.
Yeah,
remember
sure,
the future is what you make of it. Duh. Yeah. Nobody's ever said that before. Very profound.
Too late.
Yeah. Whoops. Anyway, listeners, look for great things coming from us in the future, and we really appreciate you bearing with us as we sort of brainstorm out loud. If you have ever dreamed of giving us feedback, now is the time. The door is wide open, and you will be given a statue in the lobby of our marble palace that we're going to build someday.
My short-term goals is like 10 likes and 5 comments on this episode's post.
Actually, on that note, listeners, I will say that a very, very, very short-term goal, something you could do within the next week, actually, is to consider subscribing to our podcast on iTunes and giving us a favorable review and maximum stars. And if iTunes is not to your liking, you can also try us out on Stitcher. This can also be done in roughly the same time period.
Like us on Facebook. Better yet, share our page on Facebook with all your friends. Follow us on Twitter and Instagram. Add us to your Google circle. And join the Nerdstravaganza HQ group on Facebook.
Check out our website, nerdstravaganza.com, for this and all of our previous episodes. Check out all our videos on YouTube by typing Nerdstravaganza into the YouTube search bar, and all of our movie reviews, video reviews, board game reviews will come up for your viewing pleasure. And head on over to and send us an email at nerdstravaganza@gmail.com.
And with all that said, Chris, take us into the future.
This is Future Chris. Stop everything, guys. Whatever you do, don't touch the red button.